ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Today is the last month of the Purushottam Mass, and during this time one should read the prayers of Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna, and in order to give you the benefit of reading this 14th chapter, we will just hear two verses of this chapter, which will give pleasure to our hearts, and from these two verses we can grasp or understand a little bit the essence of this 14th chapter. Let me just briefly summarize to you what had happened before. Brahma, the creator of the universe, had watched the very intimate and personal way in which Krishna took his lunch at the bank of the Yamuna together with his cowherd boys. It was a very unusual way, because Krishna was just joking with the cowherd boys all the time. For instance, he would point one of his friends to a bird which was flying in the distance, and the friend would look, and while he was looking, Krishna would take from the plate of his friend a half-eaten samosa. So when Brahma, who is the speaker of the Vedic scriptures, saw that Krishna was eating in such a private way, not really respecting the laws of what is muchi and what is suchi, you don't eat from another's plate usually, he had doubts whether or not Krishna is God. How can the Lord, who's praised in the Vedic scriptures, break all Vedic rules of cleanliness? So he decided to test Krishna, and the way he did it is, he when the calves started to wander here and there, Lord Brahma just stole them and took them to a different place in the universe. So Krishna and the cowherd boys noticed our calves, who are eating grass around us as we take our meals, are not with us any longer, and the cowherd boys wanted to start to get up and look for the calves, but Krishna says, no, I will do it for you. You just eat, I'm just back. And he started to move like an ignorant little boy who looks for the calves which have wandered away. He knew that it was Brahma's working, but outwardly he behaved like a little boy. So when Krishna was at a safe distance, Brahma stole a second time. This time he stole the cowherd boys and put them into a mystic slumber, like Jai Krishna was this night, very much out, and put them into the same place where the calves were. And when Krishna had searched all over the mountains, the forest, the valleys for the calves and couldn't find them, he went back to the place where the cowherd boys had been, and where there was still near the Yamuna, but he also saw the cowherd boys were now missing. There were only the leaves and the from which they had taken their prasad. There were some morsels of food, and here and there a little feather or a little decoration from one of his boys, but they were clearly gone. And Krishna, like a little boy, you know, Brahma watched all this. He said, Ahamatra, I'm here, where are you? But no response came. So Brahma then went someplace, but he felt bad, and he came back. And when he came back, he saw, well, all the calves are there around Krishna and all the cowherd boys. He thought, but I have stolen, or I have stolen is not the word, I have kidnapped them. Why do I see them here if they are there? So he quickly went back to that place where his own planet is and where there was a cave. And when he came there, he saw everything was all right. The kidnapped boys and calves were sleeping. He thought, I'm sorry, but is everything all right with my senses? And he went back to Vrindavan, and he was shocked to see the cowherd boys and calves, which he had just seen a moment before in that cave, were playing with Krishna in Vrindavan. He became confused. And to add shock to confusion, Krishna now showed who these calves and cowherd boys were. They all of a sudden, before Brahma's incredulous eyes, turned into four-armed Vishnus. Just imagine Madhavananda would now, as we look at him, turn into a four-armed Vishnu. He would be high, very high, almost up to the ceiling. There would be a chakra wheeling around his hand. It would be pure concentrated energy, a lotus flower, a club, a conch shell. He would be on the whirl on a lotus flower, big lotus flower, not a small one, and listen to this. Brahma saw that there was not just one Vishnu, but where all these millions of calves were, and his many many friends, zip, there were all Vishnus in their stead. It was like as if Krishna was saying, hey, you worship Vasudev, not the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, like in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Here I am for you, many Vasudevs, that you have a little idea about my mystical potencies. And Brahma, first he saw this, then he saw all of creation assembling before these Vasudev forms or Vishnu forms and offering their prayers. He was there on his swan, and he became so surprised that from the shock he fell down from his swan carrier on the ground. He couldn't move. He just fell down, and he was now before Krishna's mystic powers and could understand, my powers with which I create the universe, with which I speak the Vedic text, my powers with which I can comprehend or understand everything are in front of Krishna, who has who's the superior powerful person, Nishta. And as he saw this, he saw how the Vishnus were again transforming into cowherd boys and calves. Now he made haste. He had only one desire. He ran through the forest. He ran to Krishna. He threw himself on the ground and said, "Please accept my humble obeisances." Now this was not so easy because he had four heads. So when one head was on the ground, Brahma never is on the ground. He is not anatomically created for humble obeisances. He's the creator of the universe. Three of his heads were stucking somewhere else. It looked a little funny. And when he came up to see Krishna, he saw, "My God, I'm so foolish. I dared to challenge my master," and he immediately paid his obeisances. But when he was lying there in the Samba, Dandavat, another idea came. "Now I'm lying there and I can't see the sweet form of Krishna so well. So let me get up and see." And then he looked at Krishna, and Shukadev Goswami says, "Rising and falling again and again." A little bit like our morning walk, huh? "Rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for a long time. Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness which he had just seen." And in this mood, Lord Brahma offers prayers. Now one of these prayers we will hear now. Shri Brahma Uvacha. Naumityate Bravapushe Tatit Ambadaya Gunjavatamsa Paripitcha Lasanmukaya Vanyasraje Kavalavetravishana Venu Lakshmashriye Mridupade Pashupanga Jaya Pashupanga Jaya. There's somehow such a train station atmosphere in the back. It is a very important text. You must listen to this. Someone brought a child with him. This is very nice that the child is now here, but in the future, lectures are not, that the parents will have, there is a huge playing hall where the parents will please go in there in the free time. So, Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you are the only..." We will require a little concentrated atmosphere, so I will start again. "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendent body is dark blue, like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. You are wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and you are equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute. You stand beautifully here before me with a morsel of food in your hand. So here's a very interesting verse which our acharyas often comment. Lord Brahma sees Krishna now standing before him. What does he see? Well, and how does he address him? He calls him, O son of Nanda Maharaj. He doesn't call him, O son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He knows Krishna has taken birth in Vrindavan from Yashoda, and he reveals this secret which many don't know. O son of the king of the cowherds. Wow! This is a new discovery for us. When Krishna appeared, he appeared twice. He appeared as Vasudev outside, with four-armed form outside of Vrindavan. Where did he appear in this form? In the prison of Kamsa. And then he appeared simultaneously in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto in his purports. So Brahma calls him like this. And that when Vasudev brought Vasudev Krishna to Vrindavan, he entered the form of Krishna. And it is this form which always killed the demons. Hare Krishna. Now we know. I hope this is enlightening to you. And so how does Krishna's transcendental body look? It is blue, like a dark blue cloud bank. We have ordered dark blue clouds for all of you for the Bhakti Summer Fest, but I don't think they will come because we are ordinary human beings. But what is very nice in this analogy is it's an analogy of color, it's an analogy of love, and it's an analogy of mercy. The cloud, Krishna's body is blue, dark blue. Dark blue happens to be the color of love also. In the color theory also, which we know Goethe has developed it, black is for that, dark blue is for the intimate love. And the analogy that Krishna is like a cloud is also for his devotees very pleasing, because although Krishna is far away from them, his mercy is very close. It's like the blue cloud. Although it is far away, sometimes 1,000 meters and more, still the rain can be felt, and we feel very pleasant, especially in the hot summer. So although Krishna is in the spiritual dimension, his mercy can be felt in this dry material world, even though there seems to be a separation, we can feel the mercy. That's why the scriptures say it's the cloud bank. There's a whole work on this. Madhuya Kadambini, the cloud bank of sweetness. What is so sweet? The sweetness is that I am here, I'm calling Krishna's name early in the morning in Split, and I have the feeling I'm connected with Krishna. Not just like I'm standing here, if there is a blue cloud coming, it falls on my skin and I feel the heat of the Splitsky summer is over. You follow? This is very good. There is a deep connection between Krishna, the cloud, who is a cloud bank of mercy, and his devotees. His devotees, now Krishna is Ganasyam, the person who is black, and the devotees are the Syam Ganas. Syam means the people of Syam. We are the Syam Ganas, the people of Syam. Now, just like a chatak bird will go to the cloud in order to drink, the Syam Ganas will always go to Ganasyam. The people of Syam will always go to Gansyama and not quench their thirst with material things. The Syam Ganas are not internet Ganas or movie Ganas or plivanye Ganas, although we do some plivanye. We are Syam Ganas, means we are interested only in Krishna, like the chataka bird. The chataka bird is a bird which only will drink directly from the rain cloud. He doesn't go to the puddles of muddy water on the earth. So in this way, the Syam Ganas will not go to the satisfaction of the world, because the world cannot give us satisfaction. It can only give us agitation. I will end with Goethe here. Goethe wrote a very famous book called Faust. There you find a scholar who has no connection with life and who feels so lonely, although he's intelligent, and decides to commit suicide. But then he hears outside his room, where he wants to kill himself, music, and he goes out amongst the people, and the headman now becomes the man of his instincts. He is amongst the people that he dances. For the first time he feels well. Then he gets an idea. I should live this life, the life of the senses, not the life of the intellect. And he goes with Mephistopheles and asks Mephistopheles, can you help me in my new life? I felt so miserable, I wanted to commit suicide in my old life. Now I want to drink from the life of, from the cup of life. In Split we say, when we greet each other, Jivile, no? Jivile means life, live, you know. No, Jivile, it's with Jiva, no? Jivile, we say, you know. So Mephistopheles says, yes, I can grant you this life. And Faust, it's I will make it very short, lives now for the first time the life of the senses. The scholar is now having friends, and he goes to drink, and he goes to the beach, and he lives with a woman. And whenever he does something, he says to Mephistopheles, but you promised to make me happy. I'm not happy doing this. And Mephistopheles said, you should know, I promised you vitality and energy, but I did not promise you happiness. Material life can give you energy and vitality if you enjoy it, but it cannot give you happiness. Even Mr. Goethe knows. So therefore you have to become join the people, the Syamganas, the people who are the people of Syam, Sunda Krishna, and you have to move up from the world with its sordid, boring pleasures, huh? And move and drink from the Ganasyam cloud of Krishna. This is only one one word from this verse. I mean, we would sit here up till the evening and we would go through every one of Krishna's qualities. So Brahma says, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is, how does Krishna's dress look? Brilliant like lightning. Imagine the two magic twins would come with a garment which was that would be very decorative, but in this world we don't find this. And Krishna's dhoti is not still, it's not a boring yellow like this. It is also a nice decoration, I don't want to offend the decorators, but it moves always. It's full of energy like lightning. The beauty of Krishna's face is enhanced by what? Gunja earrings, yes. Sometimes men decide their face looks boring and put earrings on. And so, but Krishna has decided to put Gunja earrings, very colorful earrings, very decorative. You cannot stop but look at Krishna with this dress. And what else makes Krishna's face so beautiful?
Peacock feather.
A peacock feather, which always trembles a little. So when you see such a very, very decorative. What does Krishna wear around his chest? Very good. Forest flower garlands and leaves. Here, this we also find in this garland the perfection of garland making, leaves. To be very truthful, he has five different colors in this garland. And then Krishna has what in his hand? A lot he has. What?
Herding stick.
Krishna's herding stick is very beautiful. It is red with a golden thread. But he has also a buffalo horn and a flute. In some Vrindavan temples, they put the deities, and the deity is really like having a flute, because these are three items. Two hands hold a flute and a horn at the same time, and then a cowherd stick. This you will find at Radhakund in one temple, the Syam Sunda temple. They always dress Syam Sunda like this. But then he has another hand, which is, I mean, he somehow keeps it all. He's equipped with it. I guess the herding stick is in his waist belt. And Brahma sees how Krishna has in his hand a little rice with yogurt which drops on the floor, which shows him that this form of Krishna as a cowherd boy is supreme. And he says in the second verse, my Lord, although you look like this, no one can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours. You know, he's just seen how all the Vishnu forms came from him. You have shown such mercy for me that I must conclude that you have fulfilled that you are fulfilling the desires of your pure devotee. And then he says, although I have a controlled mind, I'm not like the ordinary people. I've completely withdrawn it from material affairs. I cannot understand this form of yours which is standing before me. How then can I possibly understand the happiness which you experience here in Vrindavan? I better go now, I'm such a fool. And Brahma, the most intelligent being of the universe, understands, my Lord's potency, my Lord's mystery is beyond myself. And he feels very humble, and in this mood he offers these extraordinary prayers which can be offered by devotees at the Purushottama month. If you have a little time today, I encourage you to read these prayers. Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says it's an ocean of sweetness, these prayers. Tomorrow we will hear more of these prayers. These were the first two. Tomorrow we will hear prayer number 30. There's a reason why we go in this order, which you will learn tomorrow. Very mysterious. I want to thank you. This was the end of our program. I was a little bit too long. I should not have done this. But we will meet every morning like this. There will be a Mangal Arati. There will be a Japa session. There will be a surprise. And there will be a reading from Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter. And this is every morning at the same time. We decided 6 o'clock because that's possible for the split janans who live in different places. Then you get up at 5 o'clock and by 6 o'clock you're here, no problem. And in this way we have our Sangha.